Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
School is out, but graduation is still in the air. The mothership celebrates the championship anniversaries of this year.
Touch them all, Joe! You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life! The Blue Jays are World Series champions!
Yes! The Bulls take a one-point lead, and Phoenix calls for time!
She is gone! In a year that has been so
Edmonton Oilers have agreed to trade Wayne Gretzky to Los Angeles.
It's the DA Show's class reunion, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Everybody, it is another edition of Class Reunion here on the show, one of our favorite segments because we get to celebrate the anniversaries of some epic moments in sports, championships in sports, players in sports. And let's zoom back to 1998, 20 years ago, where a little league team from Toms River, New Jersey, ends up winning the whole thing, becoming national news. The first time in 5 years an American team had won the Little League World Series. And a member of that team, the star of that team, became a two-time All-Star in Major League Baseball, is now a member of the New York Mets. And he joins us in studio. Todd Frazier joining us this morning. Todd, how you doing, man? Good morning.
Good. How are you? Great to be here.
I'm doing great, man. Let's go back, time machine 1998, okay? So Backstreet Boys are big. We just saw the final episode of Seinfeld. The Yankees are in the middle of their dynasty. What is 12-year-old Todd Frazier like away from baseball?
Oh, man, he's a happy-go-lucky kid. He just loves life. You know, loves to be around family, hanging out with friends, and I remember that year vividly. I remember after we did win it, I remember coming to Yankee Stadium, went to Met Stadium and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, I just had so much fun. We didn't know what we were getting into, but, you know, I was a guy that played all different sports, just loved being around my brothers, and, you know, the beach is where it's at when you were younger, so I was a beach goer all day, every day.
No doubt, and you came from a baseball family. Your brothers had played baseball. Everybody was playing baseball in your family, and was that, like, also at home, collecting baseball cards, playing wiffle ball, watching baseball, or was your baseball passion just playing in Little League?
No, definitely. I was a big card collector. I still have a bunch of in the attic, saved up for my kids, man. So it's crazy to think. Like, I remember going anywhere I went with my mom or dad. I was like, hey, man, make sure, you know, save some money so I can get a pack of cards. You know, I don't see that too many times nowadays, but I always try and get a pack of cards, see if I can get somebody's rookie card or something like that, and then share with my brothers and my friends in school, you know, in between classes. So I remember that vividly.
I was looking at some of the scores of your run through the Little League World Series, through Jersey in the Little League World Series, and you guys put up some major offensive numbers. 13 runs, 14 runs, 15-2, 13-7. What was it like to be on a team that was just put up double-digit runs?
Man, I'll be honest with you. Everybody asks me about this all the time, and I tell them the hardest part for us was just getting out of New Jersey. Even though we put up that many runs, I remember in the districts, there was another Toms River team that couple of my best friends were on, and we had to beat them, or they had to beat us twice. They won the first game, we actually won the second game. But getting out of New Jersey, playing Hamilton, and it was so hard. But, you know, we put up a lot of runs. We had a very offensive output kind of team, and I let off, and, you know, usually I let off with a home run, so that kind of get us going, kind of make the nerves go away. So it was good.
Todd Frazier, remember the 1998 Little League World Series. Was there anything of a knack to hitting the leadoff home run, which you did in the championship game against Japan? I mean, you had a knack for this. What do you think that was?
Ah, man, I think it goes back to the coaches. You know, another thing I remember vividly was watching when we practice, the Japan practice at the same time, and everybody's like, oh, how did they practice? They were synchronized. They were like a synchronized swimming team, man. When one person did one thing, the other person did the other. Like, the guy would run the first, and then the other guy would run home, but it would be like the exact same time. Everything, it was like poetic. It was beautiful. And then you look at us, we're doing a home run derby. We're doing infield contests. And,
dog piles.
Yeah, we're like the Bad News Bears over there. And, you know, we're wearing sweatpants that are too big, and I'm wearing my brother's old cleats, and... I just remember, like, after practice, we sat there and watched, and we were just in awe, and it was fascinating. It was really cool to watch how respectful they were and, you know, how dominant they really were, and it was really cool.
I read a profile that there was a ping pong table in the Little League Athletes.
I don't want to call it
an Athletes Village because you're 12 years old, but
yes.
where all the kids would hang out, and that you were on the ping pong table all the time.
All the time.
And that was how you guys were able to bond with teams like Japan, that we couldn't speak the same language. Is that right?
Without a doubt. They taught us, you know, are you a ping pong player?
Yeah.
So basically when you try and decide who serves. So, you know, you go P-I-N-G back and forth, and then they would do something different, which I thought was really cool. You put the paddle at the end of the table on each side, and you'd have to throw it and try and hit the middle of the paddle to see who served first.
Oh, interesting.
And if you would hit the handle, the guy doesn't get a chance to, you know, like a rebuttal.
Yeah.
So if you throw it over and hit the handle, you serve first, you know, and they bow to you every time. And they were really good, but I'd have to say I beat them most of the time.
Is that right?
I was really good. Casey Gaynor was really good at ping pong, Joe Franceschini, but at the end of the day, when there were tournaments, you know, I always had to buy on the first round. So,
now, I will say, if you're good at throwing the ping pong ball into the ping pong paddle, you must be great at beer pong.
Like, no, that is, without a doubt.
Right, that's accuracy right there.
I'm telling you right now. You can ask a couple of Mets guys, too. I'm really good, and I don't know what it is. The little ball just goes in. So, I mean, for me, you know, I'd have to thank my brothers on that, I guess, at a young age. They let me get some celebrity shots every once in a while.
Have you been able to play beer pong with some of the guys in the majors, like some of your teammates now?
We did a little bit in spring training.
Yeah.
You know, one of the guys threw a party, and, you know, just to hang out. And like, let's do it. And, you know, to the victor go the spoils. And, you know, I'll just tell you right now. I was fine after that night. So, I mean, a couple guys weren't feeling too good.
Are pitchers better at beer pong than position players?
Not per se. Huh. Not per se. You know, because they got to hold the ball differently. I would say if we're getting technical into this right now, you know, they got a circle change. They got the curveball, so their two fingers get too close. I mean, if you throw a good split finger, maybe I'm not sure, but you know, I'm a talker, so I'll get in your head a little bit. I'll do the arms back and forth. You know, I'm trying to mess with you the whole time.
Oh, so there's nothing that's off limits when you're up there.
No, nothing's off limits. Nothing. It's great.
Todd Frazier joining us this morning here on the show, looking back at the 1998 Little League World Series. I always wonder, when you're 12 years old and you're on national TV and you're playing against international teams, you've got kind of media attention. You've got fan pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing against opponents you've never seen before, unfamiliar. What is that like for a 12-year-old? Is it rattling? Is it exciting? Can it just make you a puddle of nerves?
Yeah, it could. It could. But I think Steve Keener, the president of Little League, they do a great job over there of keeping you separated from, you know, media, fans, because it could get hectic over there. You know, you start winning like we did, all of a sudden more fans want to get around you. And they call them the barracks up there where we lived. And once you crossed over there, it was like, all right, I can do whatever I want. There's a pool, you know, you hang out, you get to eat. But they really did a great job of keeping us, you know, away from all those pressures. You know, there's a time slot where you can, you know, the media can talk to you. And, you know, it seemed like we're there forever because everybody wants to get a question in because either they don't have any more time after that. But they do a great job over there.
How much do you remember of the championship game, hitting the leadoff home run, throwing the final strike for the game winner? Do you remember all of that, or is it a blur?
Pretty much most of it. It's funny. some of the pitchers messing with me today. I'm like, hey, man, you ever got a W in a world championship game? And then they're like, oh, really? You're going to bring that up? And, yeah, it was cool. I leading off with a home run. I think there's 11 home runs hit that game in a six-inning game. And
the juice ball era.
The balls were juice in Little League, let me tell you. No, I think where the bats were, the ping of the noise, but I remember their 3-4 batter. I think they hit 5 home runs combined, and they pimped every home run. And I'm watching at shortstop. I'm like, oh, my God, man. It was just fat. Like, every home run, the guy hit it, he would just point to the crowd. Like, before the ball even crossed, like, went over my head, he'd hit it and point to the crowd. And like, he said something in Japanese. And I'm like, look, and I'm like, that ball's crushed. And, you know, we went up 1-0. Then it's 2-1. Then it's 3-2. I mean, it was a lot of runs scored, and it was a fun game to watch with what we did.
Yeah. So you guys end up winning that. And then, you know, the accolades come. You end up going to Yankee Stadium with your team and actually going out before the game and standing with your counterpart of the New York Yankees, who were becoming the world champions that year.
Yes.
And, of course, there's that famous photo of you next to Derek Jeter. What is that moment like to run out to old Yankee Stadium amongst the Yankees at 12 years old and take their positions?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. You know, a lot of people always talk about this. We always bring it up, but it's something really cool that I got to be a part of.
I'll be honest. Mind-blowing at
12. Yeah, it was great because you get to go to your position, meeting Derek Jeter. You know, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to hang out with Paul O'Neill the whole time. Because
he was your favorite player.
He was my favorite guy growing up. He came in and talked to us for about 10 minutes, and I was just like, I was sunk. I was like, I didn't know what to say to him. And then I got to play for the Yankees last year, and then I talked to him like he was my homie from back in the day.
Really?
So he's just a really classy guy, just one of the boys, and you know, it was truly a great memory for me.
Paul O'Neill is known as an intense, intimidator type of guy.
Without a doubt.
When he came into the locker room to give you guys the speech into the clubhouse, was he intense or was he acting like, there's a bunch of kids that I'm just going to be cool
with?
A little bit of both, man.
A little bit of both. You have your plan regimen every day, and it's like, hey, man, you got 10 minutes to say hi to, you know, you want to do it. It's great. It's great to do. But, you know, maybe he was just getting done hitting in the cage or something. And, you know, he had some good words of wisdom talking about having fun and enjoying the game. And I remember the first time I met him after that, it was in Cincinnati because I know he lives out there. And I met him in the mall and we were just yapping. Like, he's got pipes on him, man. This guy looks like he could still get up there and, you know, with that leg kick and just dominate a baseball. And then I'm like, dude, man, I hopefully I look like you when, you know, in about 10, 15 years. So it's good.
20-year anniversary of the 1998 Toms River East Little League team that won the championship. You're partnering with Canon to host the PixMac Perfect Baseball Mini Camp, which is so cool. This is the PixMac Perfect Baseball Mini Camp in the New York City area. So you're doing this today, which is so cool. It's ahead of your return to Williamsport this summer for the Little League Classic. Mm-hmm. Getting together and remembering all of this and working with Canon, that's going to be awesome. And this baseball camp's going to be great.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, Canon has done an awesome job in Little League. It's their fifth year coming up. They have all these new products, which I've been, you know, able to use. They have this new printer called the PixMa. And it's so much faster now. It works with crafts and homework. You don't have to go to stores anymore and, you know, print out other things. And this new camera that I've been using, my son actually has been using. He's 4 years old. Even my son at 4 can use it. It's an on-the-go camera that you could take pictures, you know, at Little League games and, you know, snap them right away there and then go home and use whatever you can use. So it's a great opportunity. I'm happy to be with Canon. And we have that camp coming up with, you know, not only Tom's River kids are coming, but Little League teams in New York are also coming, and we're going to go over crafts as well. We're going to do some baseball stuff, and it's just going to be a good time.
That is so cool. PixMa Perfect, use the hashtag PixMa Perfect Baseball Minicamp, New York City, coming up today, and then the return to Williamsport, 20-year anniversary of Tom's River East winning the Little League Championship. That is awesome, man. This was a lot of fun, Tom. Thanks so much, man.
It was, man. Good start. Thank you.
Todd Frazier joining us here on the show. Very cool stuff. Todd Frazier, 1998 Little League World Series champion.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.